Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J on a Friday. 929 FM ESPN. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Skip it up in here. I ain't gonna look around. You can say, why? Grizzlies struggling. Tigers football. It's got ECU this weekend in a game that probably matters more for ECU than it does for Memphis. That said, Ryan Sinfield, we know, he keeps them together. You might be a little down about that, though, after the loss to Tulane, maybe. Tiger basketball, it seemed like my partner was a little down after the Ole Miss loss.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that bring us joy. There are things that bring us joy. I've been talking a lot about joy ever since we saw Ja lose it, you know. And hopefully it'll be back. Hopefully it'll be back tomorrow for Ja. As maybe we'll get a return of Zach Edey. There are things to be happy about because of the future, John. There's always hope. Somewhere out there, there's hope.
Somewhere.
You can tell he believes it.
Over the rainbow.
Here's some good news. You got a really bad basketball team coming in Sunday that you're going to beat the crap out of. The Tigers going to get a dub on Sunday.
Oh, I don't need it. Yeah, because I know about the good news.
This is going to be a Memphis sports year where you have to celebrate the small things. There's no doubt about that.
Don't forget, we've got NCAA tournament tomorrow. Ooh. On the Park Avenue campus. Some call it South Campus still.
Very good. The Fighting Illini come into town.
That's right.
Who?
The Illini are here.
We ain't tripping about no Illini.
We're the seventh seed.
Y'all got line eyes.
Mm-hmm. You can tell it's Friday.
It's Friday around this mug.
John going to be in the house.
No. But I do hope that they win the game. We need some dubs around here. There is no doubt about that. Because, again, I mean, you guys, I appreciate you guys coming in here with some hope.
Pat's got that dub last night, trade day.
Oh, they did.
I mean, I found a win in that. I don't know about y'all. Yep. Good day for Travion and the boys. I tell you what, that's your AFC East champion. There ain't no question about that. Question, John's, can they make a run like Washington did last year?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
to an AFC
question.
East title game. Maybe, I mean, excuse me, an AFC championship game. Maybe they're playing that well.
I don't. Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, what the draw will be for them.
Of course, of course.
But they'll probably be. You know, I mean, they'll host a game in the playoffs, and
one word, Vrabel.
I mean, there's a chance that they could host the Chiefs in the first round and be like big underdogs.
I'm sure.
And that's the funny thing is, like, I mean, they're not real.
Nothing to lose.
They're not a threat. They're not a contender. Because if you look at, you know, they're beating up on the worst teams in the NFL. But it is still I mean, I'd like to do that.
They weren't supposed to win the AFC East this year. They weren't supposed to beat the Bills this year.
True.
And that's what they've already, they're ahead of schedule is
right.
What they are in Drake May's second season.
Right. Is it done that they're going to win the AFC East? Like,
I just think it's real. They'll play. No, I don't think it's done.
Yeah.
But you tell me, Bills have put themselves in a tough spot.
Yeah, they're 6-3. They just obviously got handled by the Dolphins last week.
Unless they're playing the Chiefs in the regular season, it feels like they can lose to anybody because
mm-hmm.
that defense.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Which had a good plan against KC because KC didn't run the ball, as we know.
Yeah, the Pats are in the driver's seat. There's no, and they already have one meeting. So
yeah,
Yeah, that's one of the big stories.
I've crowned them maybe early, but I feel like they're going to get crowned.
Well, I mean, I think
at least for the division,
it may be early now. It won't be early later, right?
I mean, calling.
You look up in the next. You know, you got Drake May, you got Travion Henderson, you got a stout defense. It's a young team. Like, they're going to be a factor again.
You thought about things I didn't see coming. Stephon Diggs helping another young quarterback. Did not see it.
Yep. Just welcomed a child into the world with Cardi B.
Tyler, can we get a round of applause for little baby Stephon?
That's right. So anyway, yes, a lot to get to on the show today. You know, we look up, and I think I like it. We don't care what the records of the Memphis teams are.
Oh,
we just come we on, just man. this is. This is, we are champions.
Can it get worse?
We are champions.
That's the way I look at it.
We are the champions here on J&J. Trista Crick's going to join us at 11:30. I told her 11:30. You know, time, it does matter. I want to be punctual.
Good time to join us with Portland.
Got to talk to her about that. We got to talk to her about the John Morant situation. You know, I mean, in the interest of fairness, last time we had her on, we said, what are you talking about? You're crazy as hell. The Grizzlies trade John Morant.
Ooh. Well, and again, return is still a factor in that. And Portland is still ahead of us in the standings, so she's going to get the last laugh.
She is.
For yes. This week again.
But you know, I'm a guy that...
I did think we'd be better than them.
Yeah. I'm somebody that needs, that believes in, you know, giving people redemption. And we'll do that with her at 11:30. And then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by Parth Upadhyay. I talk all things Memphis basketball. They're back in action on Saturday. Or excuse me, Sunday. It's a Sunday game.
Welcome, Josh.
Against UNLV. I've got a column up at DailyMemphian.com where and it's not a fun topic. It's not a fun exercise. But, you know, times have changed for Memphis and maybe what we expect annually out of them as they embark on their non-conference schedule here. Maybe it's time to shift that because I got some numbers, man. Kentucky spent $22 million on their roster. Purdue, which went on the road last night at Alabama, has the best bargain in the sport as far as I'm concerned. They only had to spend around $8 million for their roster.
A lot of loyalty over there at Purdue.
No question. I mean, how do you get Braden Smith for $2 million? Like, that is...
Hey, he loves Matt Painter.
He loves Matt Painter. He what loves West Lafayette. Yeah. Louisville, which, of course, is going to host Memphis next month, spent around $12 to $13 million on their roster. I mean, folks, we don't know what Memphis's NIL budget was this year, but we know last year it was $4.5 to $5. And I have not heard of it going up significantly.
Did Ed say something about it recently, though, being good?
He said that both programs have gotten increased resources since he showed up.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that could mean a lot of things,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
But I think what we can confidently say is that Memphis' budget pales in comparison to the majority of the teams that they're going to see on their night. And that's just the way it is.
Doesn't surprise us.
You know, that's the way it is in the Power League. Those conferences share a full $20.5 million of revenue. And Memphis is going to have to find its place in this new world where they are not able to do that right now. And they're focusing on football. You know, they can't be Gonzaga. They can't be St. John's. They can't be Villanova. They can't be these teams that don't have to worry about football. They are focusing on football, and they want to be serious about it. They think it's their ticket to the promised land. And that doesn't mean that you take from basketball, per se, but it does mean that you don't devote resources in the same way that maybe you once did. And when you're talking about having to play a non-conference schedule like the one Memphis is playing, you're going to be walking in with the smaller stick. And that's why you're an underdog in 6 of the next 10. It's a new day, man. It's a new era, and hopefully they can overachieve. But I think that the place to measure Memphis in 2025 is not by how closely they compete with their non-conference schedule. It's what they do from January to March. You hope to pick up one or two, give yourself a little margin for error, just run through the American. That's the job now. That's the charge. And if you don't do that, then you obviously a change has to get made. But anyway, we'll get into all that with Parth Upadhyay. At 1:25. So that is the show today, but we got a busy weekend. Let's do a little thing we call over under.
The unranked Memphis Tigers find themselves on the road after their loss last week to Tulane to the Green Wave. Now traveling to East Carolina tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central in East Carolina. The Pirates. Jason's been warning us about the Pirates for weeks now. Watch out.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Margin of defeat for Memphis football, -3.
Way to hype it up, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you did a good job there, Brad. I'm serious.
So margin of defeat, they're 3-point underdogs. I'm gonna bet Memphis, actually. I'm going to bet Memphis +3.
Yeah, Brian's good in these spots, isn't
yep.
he?
Yep, and I think Brendan Lewis plays. I don't know if – like the only problem is I don't know if 3 is factoring Brendan Lewis in or out. I feel like maybe it's an in-between. So I'd like to know exactly what it will be if and when Brendan Lewis is ruled in. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, Ryan Soderfield last year was a 14-point underdog to Tulane. Everybody said the season was over. Everybody said there's nothing to play for. And Tulane still had everything in front of it. You go down there, you know, on I think it was a Friday night, maybe, Thanksgiving week. Not totally unlike what, you know, where we are in the sports calendar right now. Memphis goes down there as 14-point dogs, and they just handle Tulane from the jump, and ruin their season, and obviously, you know, add a win to Silverfield's record. So I think, you know, East Carolina has been an upstart. They got a new coach. You know, Hauser's been pretty good for them at quarterback, but when you look and you look under that hood, dude, East Carolina has not beaten anybody of relevance. Like, they haven't beaten anybody. Like, they have beaten up on they beat Army. That's what they did. They beat Army. That's their best win. But the rest of it's like Charlotte and Tulsa, and I mean, just the dregs of the American, right? It's been a while since they've seen a team of Memphis's caliber, whether it be home or on the road.
Yeah.
And obviously Memphis has played, you know, one of the tougher schedules because they've had to play Arkansas. They've had to play South Florida, Tulane last weekend. So I think they're a little bit more equipped to handle this spot than East Carolina will be. I mean, it's on the road, and I'm sure the crowd will be up for it, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a shock to East Carolina's system when Memphis comes in there. And they just haven't seen a team like Memphis for a long time now. So I will. You're giving me 3. I'll take the 3 here.
Yeah. I mean, I'd hate to push back. I do. I mean, and Ryan's good in these spots, as we know, keeping the team together, even when the wins matter more to him and his contract than they actually do in
yep.
terms of the American and you're standing in it and trying to get to the conference title game. Don't need to revisit that. You're out. I mean, and frankly, that's what I was when I walked out of there last Friday night, was out on the rest of this season. And I guess we can continue to give Ryan Soderfield all the credit in the world for, you know, it being one of his strengths of keeping teams together after you suffer, you know, losses that put you out of things. I'll be interested to see here, because it is an entirely new 70.
Yep.
Let's not act like this is the Seth Hennigan bunch, or at least a guy like that had been around for as many years as he had. It's different now. And so you wonder how many of these guys, after that loss to Tulane, and again, that was a loss to a good team. It's the loss to the bad team is the reason you're here, which is UAB. You wonder how many are still going to be locked in. I know that ECU is, John, because they are still in the race. It's not just going to be a crowd that's hype, you know, at a chance at a win here against a high-caliber opponent in the American. They're still in the race for the championship. They've also, you look under the hood, there is also, you're right, they haven't played anybody, but it is the number one defense in the American, both scoring and in terms of yards allowed. Now, a lot of that is who they've played. John is absolutely right, and it should be pointed out. But that's a legit defense over there on the other side. And so if Brendan Lewis is taking sacks because he's trying to power through like he was in that game against Tulane, that could cost you. If you decide, you know what, we're going to try to throw, you know, all game long and not go to our strength, which is our run game, which was the early plan against Tulane, after they hit you first, then I could see this getting into a game where you could lose. I say all that to say I would not be surprised if they do let go of the rope.
Yeah, I mean,
it could happen. And so I'm not doing it here to push back against Memphis or because I'm personally, you know, hurt by the fact that I was there when they, you know, they bowed out of the race.
Yep.
But I just think it's a challenge. And it would be for any college football coach. Ryan has been good right here to keep a team on board. Remember, this is an entirely new 70.
Yep.
And if they get to a point where Brendan Lewis can't go, well, then everything's up for grabs. You know, Aaron Tomaiden and A.J. Hill have both been solid. But winning a game, I mean, it's not a given. And obviously, it wasn't those guys that cost you, but you didn't win in those situations. And so, yeah, I'll just go ECU because, heck, I've been saying all year long, the tough game, also, they've backed it up with their defense. John's right. They haven't faced an opponent like Memphis, We don't know if Memphis is going to be engaged or not. We will see. Typically, they've remained engaged. We'll see if they are Saturday.
All right, Johnny Depp.
Yo ho, yo ho.
I don't know what that means.
The Pirates.
A pirate's life for you.
Make me a pirate, though.
Yeah.
Oh, you a pirate. You Johnny Depp.
No.
Jack Sparrow.
And listen, there will be people, I'm sure there will be Tigers fans that go. Let me be very serious here. And shout out to them, because those are the real ones.
Wow.
They're going to go to Greenville.
Amen.
You know, be here on Thanksgiving. Stand up for that one, even though it's different now. Shout out to those folks for their support.
Who's your favorite pirate? Captain Hook? Jack Sparrow?
We did a version of this
with Blackbeard.
Bennett the other day, because he has a pirate tattoo.
How about the Raider Man?
We know your favorite pirate.
How about the Raider Man?
Was it Captain Teague? Was that Keith Richards' character? I enjoyed Keith Richards as a pirate.
We've had some.
He was the father of Jack Sparrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Got it.
Keith Richards from the Stones.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Yes, he was.
I enjoyed his role in that movie.
Yes, he was.
Never got into those.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. I think I watched maybe the first one, The Pirates of the Caribbean. The first one. They made so many of them.
It became a big franchise maker for them.
We did the ride in Disney, and it scared the living ish out of Riley. Like she was like very upset with us that we took her on that ride. It's not that scary.
Well, rejuvenated Depp's career, kind of.
It did.
Made a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
I prefer him without eyeliner in movies and roles such as when he played Donnie Brasco.
Yep.
Who infiltrated the mafia.
Good call there.
And he's a fantastic actor. He really is. The eyeliner got old.
Yep. So let's go to the other spectrum for we go to the Pirates to the Rebels who are going to be here on Sunday. I will be going to the Kooky Canuck for lunch approximately 2 o'clock after worship. We will then proceed down Beale Street to Section P as in Passner. We'll wear red so we can take our ferocious ass whooping in style from the school that I went to graduate school at as the UNLV Running Rebels walk in. And the line we say, margin of victory for Memphis, 11.5.
First off, I want to say the most important part of that entire thing was that you're going to worship. That's the most important part of that, okay? And that you need to pray for mercy.
That will be the first order of business. Pray that Josh makes it through the whole year because, folks, not looking good for him trying to rejuvenate. Speaking of rejuvenating
you've got
careers.
To give him time.
I don't know, man.
Well, we know you give guys
I
one
give
game.
I give zero time when you're all getting right. this kind of dough. I don't care if it's a half mil or a 1.5
mil. I honestly don't know what his NIL is. So it's.
I think it's between $2 and $3 million.
Yikes.
I think it's
that's very hard.
To figure it out.
Yeah, he's telling you it's hard with between 4 and 5.
Now, he may say otherwise. It may not be between 2 and 3, but they came in with a lot of gusto to try to get some money
from
the boosters.
It's almost impossible. I don't know how many new guys he has, but it's almost impossible to fill the roster.
All new. Ever new. All It's
you
a whole can, new roster.
Then it's got to be 2 to 3 million, because how else could you do it? How else could you fill 15 guys with less than that in 2025?
No so bigs. Zero bigs.
I would believe that. Well, the good news for them is that Memphis doesn't have any either. So I do think it will be a battle of weakness versus weakness. This will probably be Memphis minus 12. That's the KenPom projection.
Yeah, 12 is the KenPom, 88-76.
I think this is like, again, it's been so long since we've seen Josh, coach in that building. And I'll be honest, I wasn't really paying close attention to his Georgia Tech tenure for the most part. I don't know. I think he probably finds a way to keep it close, though. His players will probably be up for it. I don't think they're good, but you're talking about 12 point margins here. I think they can probably find a way to keep it close here in this one.
I don't know, man. Brad's probably not sandbagging when you look at the resume and the fact that they've lost to Montana and UT Martin. Like, they're off to a really bad start. In fairness to Josh, this is the beginning. It was probably going to be ugly to get started. You've got to give him more than 3 games. I just feel like, if Memphis is going to show us they're good, you're going to blow a team like this off the floor.
Yeah.
If you're going to get people down there to FedEx Forum this season, you need to show that you can be sort of dynamic and explosive. And Doug's got that sort of game. You need one of these games to roll. And this just seems like the perfect opponent. It's weird, and we're starting off. Usually, sometimes some Fridays we're on the same side, sometimes we're not. I'm just going to go here that Penny needs to roll, and that this team comes in feeling, not moral victory-ish. I don't think Penny was in that mood, and John certainly wasn't. I wasn't either after a 6-point loss to Ole Miss. But I think there's some things to point to. You only turned the ball over 7 times. You out-rebounded them. You've played three SEC teams.
Right.
Yes.
This team is trash.
Yeah. Compared, no doubt.
They're at 117 at KenPom. Roll them, whatever
it is. That would be ideal.
That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see, early, Curtis Givens get into it early, hopefully hit some shots. Ashton, if those shots are dropping early, there's a good chance here you can get this UNLV team, which clearly does not believe in itself yet, to fold early. So let's run them off the floor.
So KenPom's got it 12, and Torvik's got it 7.5.
So I'm thinking it could be 9.5. It's going to be, and they can cover that, bro.
Yeah.
As opposed to 12.5.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No, you're right. So if it's single digits, I'd feel much better about Memphis doing it.
I think Memphis is better than y'all think they are. I really like that Memphis team. Dude, I'm not even sandbagging here, boys. Okay. Like, that Ole Miss game to me was awesome. I know they lost.
I think they got a chance to be good and run the American.
Yes.
But the issue is then seeding in the tournament, what you can be. There's probably a ceiling on it. That said, this absolutely can be a tournament team, and a tournament team is technically a good team.
I think Memphis is a that's exactly like they're a top 68 team. Like that's what they are.
That's probably right.
And aren't you telling us in your column that we have to adjust our expectations because the price for a Sweet 16 now has gone up in terms of what it's going to pay?
Bro,
and that's what
like,
I'm saying.
It's like okay, it's, I should have put this
don't
in the column,
it, but it's true.
Yep. It's like you don't hold the Tampa Bay Rays to the same standard that you hold the New York Yankees, right?
Exactly. Or the Dodgers, 100%.
Like, you can't.
Perfect example.
Because they're playing different games.
But yes,
perfect example, John.
You know, and that doesn't mean that the Rays can't occasionally have a season. They've had seasons. They've won a World Series a long time ago, but they've been in the mix.
Well, what their payroll is, usually they're overachieving.
That's exactly right. Yes. And, it comes down to anything. It's like evaluation with prospects. It's like just getting, hitting the right time, things like that. They didn't win a World Series. They won a pennant in 2020.
Yep.
And in 2008. So point is like, that's a deep run.
Yep.
And it doesn't happen a lot.
Absolutely.
It doesn't happen often. But like they can, things can come together, strike right. They can make a pennant would be like an Elite Eight, right?
Yeah, for
Memphis. I think but it's like every year you expect an Elite Eight, Sweet 16. If Penny doesn't get there, we're going to like hold his feet to the fire type of thing. No. He's operating at 50% of the teams he's playing the next 6 weeks for the most part. Maybe even less. 33% if we're talking about Louisville, right? $13 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know what Baylor's NIL is. I don't know what Vandy's NIL is, but you can imagine pretty much, I think, assume any Power 5 or 4 is going to have $8 to $10 million just off the rip because they have the full revenue share. Memphis ain't got that.
What's remarkable about this game Sunday is UNLV would die to be where Memphis is right now. They would die. That program has struggled for 30 years, and now they had some moments. But, man, Memphis is consistently – they got rid of Tubby. Like, they would die to have an alum like Penny or somebody like him doing what they're doing under the margins of – short of having $10 million NIL or whatever.
They've lost their way.
Die.
But they do have a title, I think Memphis would like to have a title.
It's been forever, though. I mean, it's like
– I mean, look, it's starting to be forever since Memphis has been relevant in that discussion. I mean,
But they go to the tournament every year damn near, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're healthier than UNLV is. There's no question about that. But, I mean, there was a time where, between the end of Josh and the first 2 to 3 years of Tubby, you're talking about 6, 7 years of a drought. I mean, this is a recent development.
And he's done a good job, is what I'm saying, I guess.
I think he's done a good job. I think he's done a good job. And I think he's done a good job in a rapidly evolving, and I think maybe for Memphis, deteriorating climate.
Yeah.
Like, it's not getting easier for him. I actually went back for this column, and we didn't really talk about it at the time, I don't think, but when he went on with Ryan Clark and the Pivot, and he said, when I came in, I was one of the best recruiters in the country because I could build relationships and I could just talk about my history, and he did, right? I mean, he can back that up because he got James Wiseman in that class. Dude, hell, even in 2021, he got Jalen Durden and Amani Bates, and then he said they took it out of my hands because now I can't even have that conversation. Doesn't even matter. Now it's just, how much do you have for me before we even talk, before I even think about visiting? And that's where, it's in some ways, like Dane Bradshaw told us, it makes it simpler. But for Memphis, I think it makes that conversation harder. Anyway, listen, let's hope they blow out UNLV and people can continue to feel good about this Memphis basketball team. That'd be great.
Real quick, before we get to Trista here, we'll go to the Grizzlies. I know it's a sore subject. They're off today. They play tomorrow afternoon at 4 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Quarters one, the next couple of games for the Grizzlies. We've set it at 1.5, -1.5.
Yeah, we're taking this down to the molecular level.
Eight quarters.
There's eight quarters against the Cavs and the Spurs. How many do we think they can win? 1.5. I think that's a fair, because like, even if you're getting blown out, you're always allowed to win that fourth quarter. Yeah. So I put 1.5.
I'm going to surprise you probably with my optimism level, because Zach Edey's going to be back. Cedric Coward, this is a prediction. Cedric Coward's going to be in the starting lineup. Ja's going to be out there. Jaren Jackson Jr. and his 4 rebounds are going to be there for you. And it's going to be a different unit to start this thing off. And hopefully maybe you're not having the slow first quarters, the slow starts. It's gotten a little better. But again, the Knicks ran off of you from you at the end of the last one. And frankly, I mean, with Boston, there was no effort the entire time. And so hopefully that changes. You're talking about 2 quarters and 8. Over. And I feel good about it. Because, again, you're going to get some energy in there. Ja's going to be – there's going to be moments of joy. Maybe even in 2 losses. But moments of joy that we can see something that starts to look like an Isolo offense.
I'll concur. I mean, I'm not sure what the context of it.
All we need is 2, John.
All we need is 2.
We need 2 quarters out of 8.
Yeah.
I mean, we can win the fourth quarters of these after they let off the brakes. I mean, let off the gas, excuse me. Right? Yeah. Cleveland and the Spurs, if these are blowouts. So yeah. Either way, I feel confident about over here.
Yeah, now the fact that we had to take this to quarters rather than the games, you know, that's a conversation in and of itself. But we got to take what we can get around here at the end of 2025. All right, we're going to come back. We'll eventually touch on what Dylan Brooks said yesterday after the Suns. Was it the Pacers? They beat the Pacers. Dylan Brooks had some interesting comments.
Suns are rolling,
sadly.
5 in a row.
Just adding to the misery of this year. Anyway, we'll get into all that. Trista Crick will join us. I don't know if she'll do a victory lap or what, but we'll germinate with her on the other side. J&J 90.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed's sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed's sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ESPN.
She's Trista Crick, a.k.a. the most requested. I mean, they just ask us all the time, fellas, when are y'all getting Trista Crick back on the show? NBA, WNBA analyst, NBC Sports, co-founder of the Daily Dub. She joins us now. Welcome to the show, Trista.
What up, what up?
I mean, we have a lot to talk about.
There's a lot that's happened since my five players you must trade right now list.
Now, we've already addressed this. You know, we've already addressed this. We've put it to bed. You know, we don't really need to rehash it.
But no, see, we don't.
But
a lot has happened since then.
But that's the, you know, that I think that speaks to the integrity of Jason and myself. That you know, maybe we laughed at that you know video at the time, but
and then you're like, dang, she really had it spot on.
I feel like there are shows that maybe wouldn't have the, you know,
they wouldn't bring them back. You wouldn't bring them back.
Right, they would just they you know act like it never happened, you know. But that's not what we do on this show. Do you feel validated?
Oh, I mean, it happened so fast. Anthony Davis had an injury like 2-3 days later, and then the jaw thing happened like maybe a week later, and I was like, yeah, it's because we make a lot of predictions in this business, and sometimes you feel like an idiot, and sometimes you feel like an oracle. And in that post, I felt like an oracle.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do want to give you your flowers because to that point, you know, you make predictions. You only ever hear about the ones that you get wrong, right? That's the way it goes. Like, you never get credit for, like, oh, damn, that was a nice call, man. Nice job. You know, like, nobody ever does that. You only get the ones that were brutally wrong thrown back in your face. But when you assess the situation in Memphis with Ja Morant, obviously he missed last game against the Celtics with an injury. I think the expectation is that he will be back against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But he has not looked like himself whatsoever, you know, in the first 13 games of the season. What's your assessment of what's not right, what's going wrong? Like, just what do you think is the issue here in Memphis with Ja?
I don't know that we can do this whole hockey rotation substitutions thing with a guy who wants consistency with his minutes and his touches and who he plays with. And like, maybe it works in Europe. Maybe this is a style that you can transfer. But I think if you're all in, you have to kind of be in or out on your star, right? And if you're out on your star before everyone knows it, you have to get rid of them. If you're not planning to do that, you're basically saying, okay, we're in on our star. And then you need to make changes and build a system that impacts them in a positive way and puts them in a situation where they're the best version of them. And I think things have just really gone downhill since what felt like to those inside the locker room as a betrayal when Taylor Jenkins was ousted the way that he was ousted, becoming a lame duck, getting rid of his assistant coaches, bringing in his replacement like while he was still there, and kind of he was making Isola was making a bunch of money, and we were like, oh, that's weird, you know, and so. I think since then, it's kind of like, well, do you care about what works for Ja and when he's been successful? Because this team, when healthy and when Ja has been engaged, has won games. That's just pure and simple the truth. You could say, I'm sure that there are other national outlets that say that Ja, his health and his athleticism and all that stuff that we like about him is on the decline. I don't think so. I think if he was to be in a spot where he was happy and felt like, you know, he could be engaged, we would see the same version of Ja that we've seen in other years where he is doing the spectacular things that he does. So I think it's like a front office head coach administration versus Ja sort of thing. And I don't know that you're going to get, and like, I don't think stars really want to be lambasted publicly in the locker room right after. I think you can't really do that either and expect that player to have a good relationship with you. So it feels untenable between those two.
Might be. We're going to find out. I'd ask you this. We had a beat writer, Grizzlies beat writer here yesterday. Drew Hill does it for the Daily Memphian, who said that Jaren Jackson Jr., and I think John and I agreed, that's kind of where we were, would get a bigger return in terms of if you traded him. So I'd ask you if you agree with that. Then you would get on Ja, especially at this point. And I'd ask you, do you agree with that? And if you do, are you open to sort of, you know, rather than trade Ja because it's untenable, which it right now it is, everybody's got to get on the same page, would you be open to looking at it with Ja and whatever that haul is?
Yeah, I would. And I do think that Jaren would return more. I don't think that's fair, but that's where I think Ja's stock is just very low right now, unfortunately. Like league-wide from what all the
and
reporting
he's contributed
says.
To that, no doubt, yes. To your point. Yes. Big time.
I think when you – it's a tough situation when you want out of something, right, as a professional athlete, because when you're quiet quitting, you show the front office on your current team that they should get rid of you. But you also show other teams around the league, man, like that's what this guy can do if he's unhappy. How much really do we want to give up for him?
Yep.
And then on the flip side, if you're trying to rehab your value by being engaged, being your best self, like showing up with a good attitude, you need to work behind the scenes with current management to tell them, hey, I'm only doing this to rehab my value so that the other teams around the league see me as what I am. But like, do not get this twisted. I do not want to be here. Or like, I don't want to be here under these circumstances anymore. But when you're out there in like you're balling like Ja at the peak of his powers, then like the flip side of that is your current team is like, oh, well, maybe we don't need to get rid of him. And so it's kind of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Yeah, and I guess we'll save, I guess, the postmortem for when and if that happens. But I mean, how is it that we're, you know, at a point where the star player and the coach are oil and water? Like where does that blame lie? Because like who miscalculated what, I guess, is sort of the question I would have. Like, was this an organizational miscalculation? Like the front office didn't know exactly what they were getting into with these two? Was it a miscalculation by Ja, who seemed to endorse the hire? Like where are we putting this?
Remember when Nate Bjorkgren got hired as the head coach of the Indiana Pacers because he was like this Nick Nurse disciple and the Raptors stock and everybody in that coaching tree or even connected to that coaching tree, meaning Chris Finch, who came over from Europe as well. Like that sort of universe had never had a higher reputation. And then we saw, oh, well, this guy, this general of Nick Nurse, he doesn't exactly lead in a way that resonates with players. He's not that malleable or flexible. He has a very specific way of doing things. And I think in general, we saw that with David Blatt in Cleveland as well. These guys that come over from Europe, I think rarely are aware of the dynamics of the star profile of American NBA players. And so I think that probably came from it, is that the front office didn't quite see how much oil and water it would be. Maybe Yasolo, like, maybe sold a bill of goods like Mike McCarthy did when he slept at Jerry Jones's house and said he'd been watching film. And then on the first day of the press conference was like, actually, I haven't watched any film. I haven't changed anything that I've done. And then probably to a degree, Ja was being a good soldier to, quote unquote, endorse the move. And then you things look good when you first meet someone for coffee. And then when you get into the trenches with them, you're like, oh, I don't like that you do this. I don't like that you do that. Like, oh, man, this is a lot different than I thought.
See, that's why a lot of us thought that Ja, you know, if you wanted a guy that was going to be able to speak his language, maybe through the good times and the bad, needed an Ime Udoka type, right?
No-nonsense,
somebody that's seen things. We even pointed to a guy who had not been a head coach, but a Sam Cassell, who certainly paid his dues and seen things. But what you need is Ja to have a reverence for the guy that's going to be go beyond his individual struggles, right? That's what he has, so that when they are down and maybe the game ain't going so great for Ja, there's still a respect level there and that open line of communication. That's what feels like it's off, Trist. I think you nailed it. is that that's the part Isolo's having the trouble with. And Ja's already a dude that's kind of, we've seen it. I mean, he'll change his mind, whether it's, he changes agents, he changes his mind. And that goes back to his part in this, Trista. And I think ultimately why you wonder if you can ever sort of build it around him, because Ja flips like that, right? I mean, he had to be on Isolo at one point because he was protesting Taylor Jenkins at the end. He comes right back into the lineup. He's ready to go. The offense is good for him. And then 13 games in, for the most part, he's out again. And so can you really sort of, is that really a foundation to build around? That's why, I love Ja to death. Have always thought he's best of the franchise, but those are the questions the front office has to ask in terms of if they are going to go forward with him. Can you depend on him? The guy flips left and right.
Well, and he's not the easiest guy to ask in the locker room either. Doesn't give you always the most exact answers, and kind of can be a little bit
enigma.
Fickle, yeah. Like a little bit indignant, and has a hard time really like being vulnerable and open and honest about his own role in things, and like kind of hasn't really found an accountability streak in him outside of the one that was somewhat forced upon him after the whole gun thing. So, and I love Ja, and I think he's a supreme talent, but you're right. The thing that I come back on is I don't think a guy like Isolo would ever vibe with a guy like Ja. And I think you're right. It's an Ime Udoka type, a guy that like comes from at least a similar cloth, cut from the same cloth in terms of how they communicate, cuts from the same cloth in terms of how they move. If he gets admonished by a guy like Ime Udoka, he still has respect for him like as a guy, and he's not feeling like he's being sunned by some random European. Like, you're not about to come up in here, first-time head coach in the NBA, and treat me like I'm your little boy, because I'm not. And that's kind of how it feels like. Yep. He thinks he's being like given the ruler and hit on the hand like he's in Catholic school. And it's like there needs to be mutual respect there. I don't know that Isolo respects Ja, and I'm pretty damn sure that Ja does not respect Isolo. And I think if you were to trade him to a place like Houston, where even Jalen Green sort of shaped up, like that could be a good fit. Even maybe a Dallas that absolutely needs a ball handler right now and could play in a place that somewhat has a similar vibe, right? Like Dallas is a great city. I don't know what the – and Jason Kidd is a guy that you respect, right? And it's like a point guard whisperer. So I think those are the two destinations that I could see really working out. Maybe even like a Jordy Fernandez, although he's Canadian. I think that's like a thing as well. Like there's a lot of cultural intersections, racial and cultural intersections here that make a difference when it comes to certain star players.
It's interesting.
That's so well thought through. And I think we're nailing Ja's feelings.
You clocked him. There is no doubt about that. He's mercurial, but to the entire point about this is that like you have to want to be, you have to want to be coached. You have to want to, have that sort of mutual relationship. And, I feel like, he's been here for 8 years now. I don't know if it would have mattered. Like anybody that we're talking about, they couldn't have gotten Ime Udoka. They couldn't have gotten, Mike Malone, they could have gotten maybe, and that wouldn't have worked.
Mike Malone is too much of a pushback,
right,
the front office guy that wasn't going
to
work.
So, honestly, it may be a deal where Ja has to be humbled in that way, which means getting traded. Like he has to have this humbling. Like in other words, we're talking about these theoretical coaches, having this moment with Ja Morant. Like the possibility of that being in Memphis feels like it's dwindling. Like it just feels like if in order for him to come to that mutual understanding with a coach, it may require him being in a different setting altogether. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I agree 100%. Sometimes it just takes you getting humbled, getting not discarded, but a chapter ending.
Yes.
And you having to go somewhere new,
yep,
figure things out in a new house,
yep,
new route, new, yep, arena, new practice facility, and to kind of shake you out of your bad habits, your habits in general. And also to like You're kind of by yourself, most likely, in a new city. Your support system's there. You got a lot more time on your hands, and you can sit back and think, am I doing things the right way?
And no, like, it's like getting fired, right? It's like
if you get fired
from a job that you've been at for a long time that you are comfortable in, that but maybe you hit your ceiling or you got too content or whatever. You get fired, you get laid off, whatever. It lights a fire under your ass, and you're like, man, you know, I need to like look at myself and change the way I'm maybe doing some things, right? Like you can't. It's hard to motivate yourself in the same job. Like it just is.
It is. You've been there forever, and you think you've accumulated so much goodwill. And you've had so many moments with this team, and he has provided a lot of moments that are positive and electric that fans remember, that I'm sure he reminds the front office, like, about why he's so valuable. You go to a new place, we don't have any of those moments with you. You're starting from scratch.
Right, right.
You have a chance to reinvent yourself in a good way, and I think that does make sense most likely to move on from job. But I also think when you look at what this team does so well, I think the evaluation of talent, it's probably this front office, a strong suit, finding guys, not in the trash heap by any means, but guys of value, guys that are like maybe should have been 22nd picks and you get them at 12, maybe, or you get a guy that you think should have been at 12 and you get him at 40, right? And so getting rid of Jaren and Jaw simultaneously or in some sort of step-by-step process, to me, I am confident in this front office to rebuild faster than most.
I know you guys sound ready to trade Jaw today. I'll just throw, you had to call 12 to beat New Orleans and Phoenix. He had to bail you out of those games. That's part of the reason why, Trista, I think you're so right about how he felt when Isolo was coming at him, right? I'm the guy that saved you in a couple of these already, and you're already sort of telling me that. But remember, here, back to the point here. You couldn't call 8. You couldn't call Jaren Jackson Jr. Maybe one day you'll be able to call Cedric Coward to do something like that, but there ain't much else out there. And so
closers are hard to find.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And there is a wilderness that's out there that does include a bunch of picks. But, you know, I mean, Portland's been down for a long time. You know, there's a wilderness that Sacramento was in for a long time where you're just or Toronto now that's got a bunch of wings and none of them fit together that you do worry about in a small market city. Boy, if you went that route and you did mess it up, right, and the pieces didn't fit together and you never see a guy that had the superstar potential of Ja Morant, boy, it could get really, really unhinged. And so that's why I would just again warn against, you better make sure it's the time to trade Ja, because there ain't much there after that. I mean, we like what we see with Cedric Coward, but come on, it's 13 games into the season.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, I think that's kind of what I imagine Ja is maybe doing, which is, listen, if you want to call me out, let me show you what it's like when I'm not putting on the
1,000%
Superman cape.
I feel it.
Let me show you when I'm not putting this team on my back how bad Tomas Isolo's garbage-ass offense is. Let me show you guys that this guy could get put on the hot seat faster than Frank Vogel or Willie Green or any of these damn like, this guy could be in and out just as fast as David Blatt. So, like, if I'm quiet quitting, I'm like, yo, you need to chill, brother, because, like, your coaching record will be disastrous without me.
Yeah,
it does. And
but I'm thinking about what they have currently.
And that's, you don't want that from your superstar, but it feels like that's what's happening. I keep looking at Kyrie. I brought this up with Brad. Like, Kyrie had to learn how to lead. To John's point about, like, kind of losing some things, you know, the whole Nike thing, what he went through, I just look at Kyrie now, and he's a different person. It's not about what he says. Remember when he was in Boston trying to lead, and he couldn't, in terms of referring to the rest of the locker room, it was just he didn't know how to, right? He had been underneath LeBron, and it was sort of his time. He wasn't ready from a maturity standpoint. But he went through some things. I mean, he messed up some opportunity. He went through some things, and he grew into a great leader. I hope for that for Ja. Just because I want the best for Ja, I pray for it for him, that he can kind of grow into that. And maybe, I don't know what it's going to take. I think it goes back to what John's saying. But I have hope that that could still be the case. You know, he could grow into that leader and a guy you can depend on.
Yeah, I interviewed Ja a couple of times, once or twice pre-draft. And inside of there, inside of that fickle, enigma, indignant guy that you now see, in, or that they now, people now see out in the media, is a really nice, down-to-earth kid.
Dude, you want to get behind.
Yes. A guy that you just, that has something. Mm-hmm. That, like, as a guy, has that fire in his eyes, that like, playful spirit, the joy that he has somehow lost along the way, that I'd like us to be, and now that's like, there's so much scar tissue built up, that it's almost like you forget it was ever there to begin with.
Yeah.
And but underneath there is a, just like Kyrie had, he was a hot mess as a young player.
Yep.
He was running around, partying in hotel rooms, wrecking rooms, just like sullying the Celtics franchise, stepping on Lucky, doing everything, doing the most, right? And so it took Kyrie having a disaster in Brooklyn to go to a place where it's like,
yep,
it was a perfect fit. And to a degree, a Kyrie for Ja trade, I don't hate, depending on how you make the money work. Because, you know, I know Kyrie's in the twilight of his career, but he's a bona fide certified closer. Dallas needs a guard right now. They can't wait. And Memphis needs a stalwart. They need a Mike Conley type. And shockingly, Kyrie right now is more of a Mike Conley than he is a Ja.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be.
I wish the window fit a little better. I'd be all in. Right. You know,
if he was a little younger, that would be a much better scenario. But I think Kyrie has like three, four years left to him. And listen, the way
I think Kyrie would actually sell tickets in Memphis. I do think people would still come watch him play.
Definitely. And you think about, too, this loaded draft class. And I know that, like, you never know how things are going to shake out, how many busts will be there, et cetera. But, like, maybe you luck into a Darren Peterson or AJ DeBanta.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you've hit the lottery, you've had Kyrie, and you now have, like, the changing of the guard, the succession plan, and a guy that can give you some wins and some closing and some excitement right now.
Yep, yep, that's exactly right.
We just fixed it. We've solved it.
Yep, yep. I think that's definitely on the table. I think they would like to see, all right, will it improve with Zach Edey? Will it improve with Ty Jerome? And as much as they can get, you know, and then they'll make an evaluation. But I think that's probably already been turned over in their head. No doubt about it. Jace, you got one more? Like, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, Trista, comment from listener. Garbage ass offense. I love her.
Yeah, man, it's tough to watch.
That's what you do to the
right
folks
now
in Memphis. Yeah, I mean, you call it like
it is. I love Memphis. I love Memphis. I've never been to Memphis. I need to go. Like, I really want to be 10 toes down and you know, see the John Martin experience, you know what I mean? Let the mayor show me around. Maybe Jason, if you can get away from the kids, we can get dinner or something. You guys can show me some spots.
You have an open invitation.
All day long, yeah. I think all of Memphis would welcome you. It wouldn't just be me and John, for sure.
I guarantee you ribbon that I could cut?
Yes. I mean, I think we can give you a ribbon here at the station.
Nice. At the station, just through the doorway, just snip, snip at the Odyssey station.
I think if we told people that Trista Crick would be touchdown in Memphis coming in studio, we would probably have fans outside the studio for the first time.
She's signing her book, Garbage Ass Offense.
It's a good book. Foreword by Tuomas Isolo.
He's got to go. Isolo has to go as well. Yeah. Like, regardless of what happens with Ja, I don't think he can stay.
All right. Well, make sure to send us your itinerary when you book that flight here. We'll accommodate.
All right, Doggy.
Thank you,
I will.
You're the best.
Thank y'all. Love you.
Yep. Bye. She is Trista Crick. Always keeps it a buck. The best in the business. We did a full 30 minutes on just Ja's psychological situation. That was pretty.
Yeah. I still didn't think you can trade him. Right now.
Not right now. Not right now. But, you know, I'm sure that's something that, you know, if it continues to go this path, you're going to have to do something. You can't just let it fester like
that. That says she's looking good there. She's looking great on Portland.
Yep.
Especially as it relates to where Memphis is.
Yep.
She comes on, she hits the notes.
100%. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.